Well, this last week, and maybe possibly still now, we're celebrating the 4th of July. So we're doing a little repeat on some things we've said before. But I have a new quiz here. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. This was in the Parade magazine last week. And I consider myself a big history buff, but I'm ashamed to say I probably didn't know as much as a fifth grader on this. So here's a little review. Why exactly do we celebrate the 4th of July? What does it commemorate? I'll give it to you multiple choice to see if you can get it right. The day of the Continental Army's victory at Yorktown, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, the first day the Continental Congress met in Philadelphia, or the day the Constitution of the United States took effect. Anybody want to wager a guess? Rafe? Yeah. It's the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. So, which of these North American cities is the oldest? Montreal, Quebec, Jamestown, Virginia, St. Augustine, Florida, or Plymouth, Massachusetts? Jamestown. That's what I thought, but it's St. Augustine, Florida. I'm just going to do a few of them here, but which city was the first U.S. capital under the Constitution? Was it Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Boston, Massachusetts, or New York, New York? Boston. I'm hearing all different answers. I thought it was Philadelphia. It is New York, New York. Okay, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights are on permanent public display in what building in Washington, D.C.? The Smithsonian, the National Archives, the Library of Congress, or the Washington Monument? Well, I've been there, and it is the National Archives. So I did know that one. Well, we heard a little bit about this, but what happened during the War of 1812? The poet Francis Scott Key wrote the lyrics of the Star-Spangled Banner. U.S. troops attacked and burned York, Ontario, the capital of Upper Canada. C, the British forces invaded Washington, D.C. and burned the White House. Or D, all of the above? It was all of the above. I'll do two last ones here. What was the first southern state to secede or declare it was no longer part of the U.S. in 1861? Would that have been Texas, Mississippi, South Carolina, or North Carolina? South Carolina. We think we know these things, but it's really, we need to review. Let's see. June 6th. 1944 became known as D-Day, marking a major turn in World War II. When? What happened? A. Japan attacked U.S. naval targets in Hawaii. B. 156,000 American, British, Canadian, and other troops invaded Nazi-occupied France. C. Germany surrendered to the Soviet forces in Berlin, ending the war in Europe. Or D. Scientists in New Mexico tested the world's first nuclear weapon. B. 156,000 American and British, Canadian, and other troops invaded France. So that's just a little quiz to get you interested in studying more of your American history.
Have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? Five signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds and hardships during the Revolutionary War. They signed and pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor.
What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well death would be their cost if captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his homes and properties to pay his debts and died in rags.
Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay. That's a novel idea. And his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton.
At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. His home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemies jailed his wife and she died within a few months.
John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his grist mill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forest caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Norris and Livingston suffered similar fates.
Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. These were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. These were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing straight and tall and unwavering, they pledged for the support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
They gave you and me a free and independent America. The history books never told you a lot about what happened in the Revolutionary War. We didn't fight just the British. We were British subjects at the time, and we fought our own government. Some of us take these liberties so much for granted, but we shouldn't. So we take a few minutes this year while you think about your 4th of July holiday and silently thank these patriots. It's not much to ask for the price they paid.
So we know why we celebrate the 4th of July, but have you ever thought about why, as a Christian, we should daily celebrate our freedom? Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked what he needed to do to obtain eternal life? Jesus told him he needed to sell everything and give it to the poor and come follow him. In other words, he needed to make a commitment to Jesus. The young man turned and left because it was too costly for him and he couldn't do it. He didn't want to make a commitment. He wanted to be free to choose. Do you think he was happy as he left? No, he was very sad. Was Jesus trying to make the rest of his life miserable by asking him to sell all that he had? No, quite the opposite. Jesus knew that the abundant life can't be bought with money. He knew the young man loved money more than God, and he needed to make a commitment to leave that behind and instead to follow Jesus. Then he would have true freedom.
Commitment does come with a price tag. A responsibility, and we should think long and hard before we make commitments. However, we should not fear commitment, as it is often the doorway to finding the freedom you are looking to find. That's your commitment to Christ. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." What did he mean? It is only through knowing Jesus and accepting his rules for life that we can have true happiness and peace of mind. Even Jesus committed to God when he prayed in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." You probably heard the expression, "There's no such thing as a free lunch," and that is usually true except for the free salvation we receive from Jesus. He paid a huge price for us and offers it to us freely because he already paid the price. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16.
So this 4th of July weekend, as we think about our country's freedoms, Let's not forget the true freedom we should celebrate daily, our spiritual freedom, the freedom from Satan and the sin of this world, the freedom to love and to be loved, the freedom to escape death and sadness. Jesus told us there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need not repent. Luke 15:7. One day America and the rest of the planet will be gone, and we will have a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:1. Choose Christ today and make a commitment to follow him. Then you will know what true freedom is.